joining us right now. I've had her on at least three or four times from The Athletic, covering your New York football Giants. Welcome back, Charlotte Carroll.
Hi, thanks so much for having me back on. Love to spend a night with you guys and chat Giants.
Of course. So let's go back to last week, or let's go back to maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I had a take about Brian Daboll and this team because, I don't know, we had people wearing bags over their heads saying that this is the worst team in the league. They're going to go 0-8. They should tank. We had people saying that Brian Daboll was trying to lose games, you know, against the Vikings and the Commanders. And I didn't see it that way. I thought they were fighting, but I also thought that it's early on in the NFL season. You know, when you don't play preseason games with your starters, no one knows who is who and what is what, you know, against the Vikings and the Commanders. I don't think anyone's tanking in the first couple weeks of the season. But my take was that Brian Daboll shouldn't sleep until he gets his first win. And that, you know, with reporters asking him about his job security, he's got to coach his ass off now. He's got to go to work now. He's got to pour through that film now. And I believe he did that against the Browns. They got that win on the road. And then I also believe he really did that against the Seahawks going out there to get that win. Let's start talking about Brian Daboll as a head coach of this team. I feel like that guy, his job is secure and those guys believe in him and he really knows what he's doing. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's early in the season and that, like, to your point, things change and move so quickly. I wouldn't say one way or the other it's safe, and that's not like what's coming from reporting or anything. I think it's just the course of how a season goes. We've had these discussions and kind of just the way things are. Same thing with Daniel Jones's job security. It just ebbs and flows with the season. But I do think he's in a much more secure position now that he's got those two big wins under his belt. And as long as nothing crazy happens or nothing goes off the walls, like we've seen in the past here, then he's in a much better standing. And I don't think John Mara wants to make changes after having to do so often over the past years. And he wants some stability. But again, things happen. If, like, he loses the locker room in some incident or whatever, there's plenty of time left to be played for good and bad reasons.
Next, we got to talk about Daniel Jones, because I was sure that everybody wanted Daniel Jones out of here, that he was the worst quarterback in the league. No way can we win with this guy. He's gun-shy. He can't make the throws. All of a sudden, Daniel Jones has settled in. All of a sudden, there's a conversation, at least, about, hey, let's see where this goes with Daniel Jones. I mean, he is under contract. And he looked pretty good in the last couple weeks, even without Malik Nabers last week. What do you think about Danny Dimes, DJ, under center?
I think it's the same thing as I just was kind of talking about Brian Daboll. I think it's kind of, you know, there's plenty of season to be left and plenty of season to be had. I do think for Daniel, he's really got to really, really play well the rest of the year. Can't have too many off games, off days. And he's got to really prove that he's the guy for the future. It's very deja vu to 22 when Brian Daboll and Joe Shane came in. They see what they like, and then they kind of have to after making the playoffs, you know, give him his contract, and then they've got their guy. Things go south last season. We all know how that turned out, and then we're back in this kind of weird limbo state of we know they tried to get a quarterback in the draft, and I don't think that's necessarily going to, like, stop them. Even if he's playing well, they're still doing their scouting. They're still doing all of that. So we'll kind of see what happens, but Daniel really has to show that he belongs yet again. So it's kind of this constant state of proving, but that's what it's like here, and that's the situation that he's in.
The next thing from last game, this defense really showing themselves. You know, any good Giants team that I can remember, the defense was a strong part of the team, and we've been waiting to see Shane Bowen in this group. And, I mean, when you look at the sack numbers, I think they sacked Geno Smith 7 times, and they – might be leading the league in sacks, and like that stands out that they're getting to the quarterback. And if you want to win games, you have to rush the passer. What do you think about his defense coming along and these guys being a strong point for the Giants moving forward?
Yeah, I believe it was 22 sacks total on the season, which is kind of mind-boggling. But when you've got a guy like Dexter Lawrence in there, and Trayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns finally start to kind of mesh and all the pieces come together, it's exciting and encouraging to watch it happen. The key will be now with Kayvon Thibodeau out for some time week to week. My coworker, Dan Duggan, had reported that it could be 4 to 6. Obviously, don't know. It could be less. We'll see what happens. But that, like, is a significant amount of time to be played without him, and he's kind of in this critical role. But what does this defense look like without him in there to kind of complement Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence?
Yeah. Now, Shane, Joe Shane deserves some credit, and I know people have been talking about this all week with his draft picks and those guys showing themselves last week. Guys like Tyler Newbin, and you're getting to see Tyrone Tracy and Theo Johnson. And so it's like, okay, this guy actually hit on some picks and they're contributing. What's the conversation around these guys that were drafted and that are playing and look like they're ready to go?
Yeah, you're right on time. I wrote a story about this week, and not intentionally, just because it's something I like to do a quarter of the way through, kind of a halfway mark through, see how the draft guys are doing and kind of check into them. But they've just played collectively as a whole, as a class, really well. And it's not just Malik Nabers that we're talking about. I mean, he didn't even play Sunday. So I think that's kind of what makes it more impressive, is you've got guys like, to your point, Tyler Newbin is playing 99% of the snaps. Drew Phillips just came back from an injury, but he's like a tough player that they really want in there. Shane Bowen highlighted when he was talking about him this week and how important it is for him to be back and kind of keep growing as a young player. You've got Tyrone Tracy, who just had a monster game and who might be in a similar position this weekend, depending upon Devin Singletary's status. He was, I believe, questionable, so we'll see if he ends up playing or what happens there. And then Theo Johnson finally was looking sharp. He went 5 for 5. So just this kind of collective group is like, okay, given Joe Shane this top draft class that he hasn't necessarily had over the past 2 years as a whole, with some kind of questions about surrounding players here and there.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Malik Nabers. He's kind of like a given as the sixth overall pick, and you know how he's performed. Those other guys got to shine last week. But let's talk about Malik now. I really don't think there's an issue at all that he went to the Travis Scott Utopia concert in their building. I don't think that there was any law against him doing that. I think people are making more of it than they need to based off of the response of Brian Daboll saying we'll keep it in-house. I think that was really just Brian Daboll saying, like, this isn't something that we need to talk about on here. It doesn't matter. What are your thoughts on it? I know he was concussed, and in theory, going to a light show with loud speakers and a bunch of people around probably isn't good for a concussed player's head, but I just don't think that it's a big deal. I think, you know, he'll be back next week, and I don't think he would have been cleared or not cleared whether he went to the concert or not.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm not a neurologist. I'm not in that area, so right. I don't want to speak to that one way or the other. So I kind of just like, you know, we can question it. We do our jobs and ask if they had a problem with it. But that is something I don't want to get into too much, and the yeses or noes of that. So I'll stick to safe ground on that one. And like, I'm not a doctor, but I understand where people, you know, you're like, yeah, I don't know about that. But I understand where people come from on that side of things.
We're on the phone right now with Charlotte Carroll. She's a beat writer covering your New York Football Giants for The Athletic. I have to ask you what your favorite Travis Scott song is. And did you go to the concert?
I did not. I'm really bad with music. I feel like I'm a couple years behind of like the music world, so that's not great. I'm also more Taylor Swift than Travis Scott is more on my playlist dumping. So I feel like I'm outing that I'm not very hip with like good music right now.
Understood. Look up some Travis Scott. He's got a bunch of slaps that he's come out with over the years.
Like, listen to it. It's probably on a playlist somewhere. I just probably can't name you a Travis Scott, even though I like could know the songs. Like, I know them. I could recognize them if they're played. I'm just very bad with like song titles that I'm like not listening to on a regular basis. So I am really coming out as a really bad music person right now.
Either way, I can't blame Malik Nabers for wanting to go see that concert. I'm sure he didn't pay to go. So I think it was perfectly fine. But let's move on lastly to this game coming up, Sunday Night Football. Historically, the Giants haven't performed great in prime time, but they're facing a Bengals team that has started off slow this year, has underperformed with Joe Burrow coming back. Now T. Higgins is back. They did put up 38 points last week. They're favored in this game, but not by a lot. I think by like 3. What do you think the Bengals are going to look like against the Giants? And, I mean, now we know that the Giants aren't going to have Malik Nabers again, maybe not have Singletary. You know, I said this about the Giants, that they're going to be underdogs this whole way through, that they got to play spoiler, that they have to have upsets. And I think this is another team they could potentially upset.
No, I think it's a fascinating situation where the Bengals are coming in here. It's like they have to win this game. Otherwise, they're in a really bad spot for a team that had championship expectations coming into the season. So they're kind of like, okay, they're going to be in here with the pressure. I mean, they might not say it, the pressure to win is going to be on them and perform. And obviously they're a very good team, and they've got Joe Burrow, who's a really, really good quarterback. But this Giants team is kind of free, loose and easy. And not in a bad way or negative, but they're coming off this win on the road. They've had two of their wins come on their two only wins have come on the road. And they've come in really weird games where, like, the worst has happened to them to start, and then they, like, somehow still keep it together enough to pull out these wins. So I think, like, things go really crazy or really soft in the beginning of the game. They know not to panic, which it sounds very simple, but it's like, you know, if they can get through that, that's pretty good. So we'll see what happens in the first quarter, what crazy football things decide to happen, tumbles, fumbles, crazy touchdown returns. But they're in a good spot in terms of, like, you know, coming off this win. There's a little bit more time. It's not like they're coming off the Browns win where they went straight into Thursday night football. They have it under their belt without Malik Neighbors in the last game. Kind of can see what they can do. So I think they're in a good spot from all of that. Their offensive line is still together and healthy. So I don't know. I think it sets up to be very interesting. I don't know if I'll pick them per se yet, but I think they're in a good spot, like, to win this game. I felt more confident when I was picking, like, okay, I thought they could beat the Cowboys. Like, that's the one. I went into Cleveland thinking they could win that one. Seattle, not as much. So maybe I'm just trying to be proven wrong again.
No, I mean, I'm right there with you. It's been hard to pick these games. But with Seattle, I think it was just like when you're watching film of the Giants and you're watching their offense, it's Malik Neighbors and Devin Singletary, and they're not available. So who do you game plan to stop? And then you watch Dable's offense spread the ball around, and it kind of, I think, just caught them off guard. And the defense was stifling where, you know, Geno Smith, they had been putting up a ton of yards and scoring points, and they had nothing for that Giants defense. It's week to week. Dable said that himself, that, you know, each game doesn't have anything to do with the next game. It's week to week. So here we go again. Potentially no Neighbors, no Singletary. I really don't know. It's tough to call. The spread is actually Cincinnati -4. But what I think is that, you know, Cincinnati has the more talented roster and players, and their back is up against the wall more. The Giants haven't won a game at home yet. It's a Sunday night football game, the only game on. I think that the primetime players in primetime show up. I really did want to see Ja'Marr Chase versus Malik Neighbors, two LSU products, and a comp for Malik Neighbors was Ja'Marr Chase. The last thing I'll leave you with here is that, right? Like, you know, they haven't won at home. Do you think there's something to do with the home crowd? We talk a lot about the pressure in New York. We're talking about it with the Yankees, how hard it is for them to play in the Bronx in front of their fans. Like, we saw the viral video of Daniel Jones getting booed week one. Do you think it's just harder to play at home because they just won two on the road and they were both upsets? Do you think that is just like it's harder to play in front of their home fans?
I don't know if there's anything to that. I think it's definitely, you can say that. And then you have the primetime element where Daniel Jones is 1-14. So it's just like, there's all these like factors. I don't think they'd ever tell you to our faces that was the case. But it's definitely a fun talking point. And it's definitely something like, I don't think it's crazy to think like, okay, they're on the road. They've got their backs against the wall. Like there's nothing, I don't want to say nothing to lose. But it's just a little bit more, I don't know, like you go into this place and you're like, okay, this underdog mentality where you come out in New York and you have to play. But I don't think there's anything necessarily to that. It's just, unfortunately, the way things have shaped out. They didn't win in Washington, so it's not like they've won every road game either to like really kind of put that point into hold. But I'll be interested to see what happens tomorrow. And or excuse me, I'm already thinking tomorrow is Sunday. I want football that badly. But we'll see what happens Sunday night.
Okay, one more. I'm sneaking in one more.
The special teams for
the Giants actually came up big in the last game. Usually it's their special teams failing them. Now there's reports that the punter is injured, Jamie Gillian. Can you tell us anything about that? They're working out punters. Like, what's the solution there? We go from the Graham Gano stuff to now the backup kicker in Gillian, and now he's hurt?
Yeah, no, I think the workout is an imperative here and that they come into the situation a little bit more prepared than they did in the Graham Gano case where we kind of knew what was happening at that moment. So if they end up like, you know, bringing a punter, whatever they need to do, but it would provide a sense of kind of security that they didn't have with the Graham Gano situation where they kind of had to just resort to Jim Gillen kicking field goals and kind of just chaotic things there. So I think it makes sense. And I think it's just what you got to do. So if they're doing that, it's a little bit more being prepared for an emergency situation.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's Charlotte Carroll. Charlotte, go enjoy the rest of your Friday night covering the Giants for The Athletic. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me on.